of blue shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's the 20th of August 2018, it's 11 o'clock and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. I also have with me my guest, Jane, from the Samaritans in Ashford. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you all?
I'm fantastic, thank you. And we'll be finding out more about what Jane does and more about the Samaritans in about 20 minutes or so as we go through the show. So on today's show, we're going to have a chat about mental health. Now, for those of you that listened to the show last week, you know that I did touch on the subject of mental health and mental health issues and ways that people without mental health issues can help those with issues. And those that have mental health issues can help themselves. So if you haven't listened to last week's show, which I think was show 33, then I encourage you to do so, because there's some really, really good tips on there. So today we're going to talk about mental health, about breaking the stigma, and I'm going to bust some myths around mental health as well, because there's a lot of misconception, a lot of miseducation around mental health. So we'll go through that in a moment. Then we're going to interview Jane and find out more about the Samaritans. And then we are going to just touch on type 2 diabetes, because that's been in the news recently again over the weekend, and the undiagnosed symptoms of type 2. So before we kick off the show, a quick disclaimer. So the purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you can improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking to your pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the topics discussed. And the Health Matters Radio Show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. So, mental health, I think we're all agreed, it's an area of health that has a stigma around it. And a stigma is defined as being a mark of disgrace or something to be ashamed of that sets a person apart from the general population. So when we stigmatise mental health issues and mental illness, we begin to label people and define them by their illness. And then these people are no longer seen as an individual, but part of a stereotyped group. We then have negative attitudes, we have negative beliefs towards this group, which in turn creates prejudice, and then that leads on to negative actions and discrimination. So what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to bring mental health and mental health issues out of the shadows so we can have a discussion about them. We can talk about them and we can start to move forwards and help each other. Because for those of you that do experience mental health problems, they can be very, very hard to cope with. And even just seeking help to start that journey of recovery can be very difficult, and trying to rebuild your life can be made much harder by people around you that perhaps judge you or treat you unfairly or stigmatize you or discriminate against you. And when we stigmatize against people, we label them as being different. And then because we label them as being different, they can be excluded and then devalued by society. So it's quite a serious issue. And the thing is people who suffer and experience mental health issues, they have to live with this high level of stigma. And recent research has said that 9 out of 10 people in the UK that live with mental health problems feel that stigma negatively affects their lives. Whilst other research has shown that mental illness evokes the most negative attitudes out of all the disabilities. So we should be having a discussion about this, because, you know, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And there's lots of misunderstanding, and there's lots of miseducation around mental health issues. And some of these are perpetuated by the media. Some of these are subconsciously in ourselves by our own language or our own attitude or our own behaviours. People with mental health problems are often seen as being an illness rather than being an individual, which then devalues their own value of themselves. Discrimination and unfair treatment of people with mental health problems then limits their opportunities and also their rights as well. And there is a lot of stigmatism about mental health issues in the workplace, which is perhaps a subject I'll cover for a later show. And there's often the lack of resources and the funding for mental health services are often unequitable compared to those for physical health issues. And we do have this public stigma, and public stigma is where society collectively reinforces these negative stereotypes. And as I mentioned in the media, sometimes the media can be quite negative about mental health issues, and sadly people believe what they read, and then that whole negativity is perpetuated. We then have our own self-stigma. And if you suffer with mental health issues, you can suffer with self-stigma. And this is where individuals, they begin to accept these attitudes as being normal. And then they themselves come to believe that they are less worthy of respect than others due to their mental health issues. So the effects of stigma on a person with mental health problems and those close to them are far-reaching, and they permeate their daily life. It often diminishes self-esteem and confidence. It can disrupt family relationships. It can limit opportunities in education and employment. It can affect their social life. It can affect access to services. But most worryingly, it can also, this stigmatism can prevent people that need help actually seeking help and getting the support that they need. And I touched on it last week that one in four people in a typical year will experience mental health issues. And if you've never experienced a mental health problem, it's very difficult to understand what it's like to suffer a mental health problem. And it's difficult to empathise. It's also very difficult to offer support as well. And there are a number of myths surrounding mental health that I'm going to cover now. And we're going to bust these in the next 5 or 10 minutes, because these are quite serious. And these are myths that are perpetuated for a long, long time. And hopefully as we go through, you'll realise that these myths just simply aren't true. So the first one, you cannot recover from a mental illness. Well, recovering from a mental illness is very different to recovering from a physical illness. When you suffer from a physical ailment, it's easy for you and the people around you to understand what's wrong, and they can view and they can see the healing process. If you break a leg, they can see over a period of time that the leg heals. But when it comes to mental health, it's much harder to see the improvements in a person's state. But that doesn't mean that there hasn't been improvements. And people can fully recover from the most severe forms of mental illness in some cases. So with the right care and a reliable support network, these individuals outgrow the need for medication, and then they learn to employ their own coping mechanisms to rebuild their lives and have fulfilling lives as well. So if you've got a mental illness, or you know people with mental health issues, then they can recover from them in some cases. So number two, all mental health disorders are genetic. Now, mental health is quite a complicated field. It's a very vast field that even some of the best scientists are struggling to understand. And whilst it has been proved that illnesses like bipolar and depression and schizophrenia do have or can have a genetic contribution, it would be wrong to assume that this was the sole cause of the problem. And in fact, studies have been carried out within families, particularly on identical twins, where one twin will suffer from mental health problems, but the other one won't. So genetics can play a part in some mental health disorders, but it's not often the sole cause of the issue. And equally, some people who have no family history of mental illness still then find themselves being diagnosed. So the conclusion there is actually mental health disorders are not genetic, but they can come from a variety of sources. Number three, mental illness is rare. Well, one in four adults in the UK suffer from a mental illness, and one in three families have a person that has mental health issues in that family. And also children whose parents suffer from poor mental health are more likely to suffer from mental health problems themselves as they grow older. So these numbers disprove that poor mental health is much more common than people allow themselves to believe, than we would like to think. We think it's quite uncommon, but it is actually quite common. But in most cases, mental illness is invisible to the naked eye, but that does not make it any less real. And what we need to do is we need to increase our awareness, we need to increase our understanding or for people that do suffer with mental health problems so we can help them ourselves in society. Number four, you can just snap out of it. I've heard this one a few times, actually. Those who do not understand the pain of mental illness can find it difficult to understand. So comments like cheer up, snap out of it, are often directed towards people that suffer with disorders like depression or addiction. But if it was that easy, they would have stopped it already. If it was easy to snap out of it, if it was easy for someone suffering from depression to just cheer up, then of course they would have done it already. Mental illness is a serious and deeply rooted issue, and it can take time and lots of energy to recover from. And due to the nature of mental health problems, sufferers usually have to comprise a number of different therapies and treatments to help them. This can include things like medication. It can also include things like CBT, electroconvulsive therapy, counselling, and sometimes meditation can help as well. So the takeaway there is, if you come across someone who's suffering with mental health problems, be careful of your language, because telling them to just get over it or snap out of it or just cheer up can actually cause more problems. Number five, people who are mentally ill are violent and unpredictable. If some forms of mental illness do remain untreated, certain sufferers can display violent or unpredictable behaviour. But this is in no way true of people that suffer with mental health problems in general. The vast majority of people with mental health are no more likely to be violent than any other members of society. In fact, due to limited societal understanding, it's far more probable that a mentally ill person will become the victim of a violent and unpredictable attack rather than be the one that provokes it. In cases where a mentally ill person has caused a disturbance, this is often the result of the pressure and the discrimination they face because of their condition, rather than the result of the condition itself. Number six, some people are immune to mental health problems. Well, if there's a prevalence of mental health issues in your family or you live in challenging circumstances, then you are more likely to suffer with some mental health problems. However, this is not to say that the rest of us are immune in general. Anyone can fall victim to mental health issues. Problems can arise. You can have difficulties in your life. You can have a bereavement. You could have an injury. You could have a period of unemployment. You could have a relationship breakdown. These things can affect any of us and all of us. And depending on your personality and your method of thinking, these events may be manageable or they may be the catalyst to mental health problems. And in the absence of proper support, one small thing can snowball into a fully fledged mental illness. Number seven, people suffering from mental illness cannot function properly. Well, actually, it's quite interesting because if everyone that suffered from mental health problems was dysfunctional, then our society would be a very different place. But you may not know it, but some of your closest friends, colleagues, or maybe even family members may be suffering with some sort of mental health problem. But often people with mental health problems are just as productive as other employees in the workplace. They get out of bed in the morning, they go to work, they maintain relationships, and they look after their children. And they go about thinking with the facade, nothing's wrong. But this facade of normality can take a lot of energy and it can take a lot of power. And they can suffer because of that as well. Number eight, mental health is not as important as physical health. Well, mental health and physical health are very closely linked. And on average, a person with severe mental health issues dies 20 years earlier than the rest of the population. And research has suggested a number of reasons why this may be. The first could be as a result of health complications due to the medication that they take. The second could be that people with severe mental illnesses are less likely to regularly monitor their health. Thirdly, it can be that when something is physically wrong, people are often misdiagnosed as mental and physical symptoms can overlap. And finally, it's argued that mentally ill people are more likely to make poor diet and lifestyle choices. So mental health and physical health, for us all, very closely linked and very, very important. Number 9, mental health, mental illness is a sign of weakness. Mental illness is nothing to do with being weak or lacking resilience. Changes in brain function and chemistry are often the root of mental illnesses, and these are completely beyond a person's control. People who suffer from illnesses like bipolar and depression have to try much harder to make it through their daily routines. If anything, the fact that they persist in spite of this displays a level of strength and hardiness superior to those with no relatable experience of mental illness. Furthermore, it's been suggested that people who have suffered from a mental illness are more equipped to deal with stress because they have developed effective coping mechanisms. And finally, you are alone. Now, this is quite a big one, because people who suffer from mental illness are often the people who need comfort and support the most. But due to the nature of their mental illness and the stigmas that society place on those mental health problems, sufferers are often the people left feeling alone and isolated the most. So we need to raise awareness of mental health conditions. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It's very important as a society we start to break down these stigmas, we start to understand mental health better, and we start to have a communication and start to discuss how we can move forwards together. So that leads us nicely into the next part of our show. After the break, we're going to be having a chat with Jane from the Samaritans, going to be finding out more what the Samaritans do and how they may be able to help you or someone that you know, and how you may be able to help them. But to lead us into that, we have a great song by Pink Floyd, quite appropriate to the discussion for today, and it's called Keep Talking.
have nothing like this. All we need to do is make sure we keep talking.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, the 20th of August, and that was Pink Floyd and Keep Talking. A very appropriate song, given the topics that we're talking about this morning, mental health, breaking down the stigma, busting some myths, and getting a level of communication going between people that have mental health issues and perhaps are seeking help, and people that don't have mental health issues and need help to understand the, you know, the suffering that these people can go through, and to start that communication, start talking about it, and to bring it out of the shadows. So in line with our theme this morning, I have with me today my special guest, Jane Carlin. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Neil.
And Jane is a Samaritan volunteer from the local Ashford branch. And we're going to go through and we're going to find out more about what Samaritans do, how they can help you, perhaps someone that you know who is going through some distress, and how you may be able to give back and support Samaritans in their work. So Jane, let's start at the beginning. What led you to become a Samaritans volunteer?
Well, I'd been made redundant from my job, and that was back in 2009, mm-hmm. and had to move back to Ashford, back to family. And I was walking past the branch one day and thought, do you know, I need to do something while I'm signing on, trying to find a job. And I've got the skills, I think, to be a Samaritan. So okay. I decided to apply. And 9 years later, I'm still here.
Wow, 9 years.
Yes.
So I mean, what was it that made you think, actually, I want to give back, I want to help?
The job I'd been doing, I'd been working with young people in Medway, supporting homeless young people and care leavers. And I thought to myself, well, I've always been able to talk to people or encourage people to talk to me. And just thought it'd be good to do something, to give something back, and help me perhaps get some more skills as well. So, yeah, I joined Samaritans, and it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be, although I did have some skills. I had to rethink a lot of things.
You are, as a volunteer, when you go through the training, and for those of you that don't know, and lots of you do know that are friends of mine, I recently became a Samaritans volunteer as well. So when we talk about the process and the training and the skills that people develop as they become a volunteer, they are a very unique set of skills. I personally believe that I think most people that go through the training process, they see a huge value in having those skills just in their day-to-day mm-hmm. life. Becoming an active listener.
Yeah.
Talking less, listening more, learning to ask the right questions to really bring out the real feelings and thoughts from that other person.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we all like to think we listen to people, but when you do something like becoming a Samaritan and you start going through quite an intensive course of training, you do start to discover that actually I don't listen effectively. I don't listen properly, maybe. One of the things that I've always believed, and I think most of us now, everyday life, we listen to people, but quite often we listen to respond rather than perhaps listen to understand. Mm-hmm. And doing something like Samaritans, it does actually make you look at that and make you become aware. And, you know, I found I had people saying to me in my own life, oh, you're different. You listen different. You're actually listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And also another thing that I found difficult was the job I'd been doing. I was giving advice to people. I was giving people guidance, supporting them to solve problems, trying to solve problems for them at times. Mm-hmm. And I had to think of things in a different way because we don't do that at Samaritans.
Mm.
So that was tricky as well in the beginning.
Yeah, and it really, and you're completely right. It really does. It doesn't change the dynamic of relationships of people around you, but it does. It does change the way that you make, the way you interact with them.
Mm.
It's very hard to describe it.
Yeah,
but you definitely end up talking less and listening more.
You do, and also you do sometimes find yourself kind of thinking, well, I need to perhaps think about asking more open questions rather than closed questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people out there who don't perhaps know what that means, is you're asking somebody, why did you feel that way? Or how are you coping? Rather than saying, are you coping okay?
Yeah.
Are you feeling okay?
Mm-hmm.
So using those more open questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I have had people say to me at times, take your Samaritan's hat off and put your friend's hat on.
How funny. Okay, so in terms of the work that Samaritans do, I'm sure there's some listeners out there that will understand what Samaritans do.
Mm.
I think maybe there's some misconceptions about what Samaritans do and the service they offer.
Yeah.
So in what ways do Samaritans help people?
Okay, well, you know, people contact us for various different reasons. People can feel alone, vulnerable, scared, anxious, suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And we just give people a chance to talk. I know that may sound like, oh, well, you must do more than that. How can that really help?
Mm.
But it does. You know, just giving someone that chance to be open and honest about how they're feeling, to be able to talk about how they're feeling, talk about what's happening to them. Also, I know this may sound a little bit cliched, but we don't judge. We don't judge people.
Mm.
We don't make assumptions about people. You know, we just give them that time to talk and be themselves.
And often they can't be themselves around friends and family.
Yeah.
For fear that there may be recriminations. They may be judged by their family or their peer group.
Definitely.
I guess, you know, not specifically relating to younger people, but younger people are more sensitive to their friends and how, you know, and their immediate peer group.
Yeah.
And if they're struggling, being able to talk to those people can be incredibly difficult.
It can. And I think as well, there's things that we do differently. You know, big thing is we don't give advice.
Mm.
We don't try to problem solve. And people may find that difficult at times, but actually people who contact us will say, you know, if I speak to my family, if I speak to my friends, if I speak to my teacher, my boss, they're going to try and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
They're going to tell me to pull myself together and things aren't that bad.
Mm.
We don't do that. You know, we just give them a chance to talk about how they're feeling without telling them what to do.
And
that's a big difference.
And they have as much time as they need to talk.
Yeah, definitely.
So what happens if you're talking to someone on the phone and they have a specific need or specific help for maybe a specific group of people? What happens then?
We still give them a chance to talk to us, but we can also signpost to other organizations. So an example of that is someone who may be struggling because of debt. We'll give them that chance to talk about it. They may be feeling really distressed. They may be feeling suicidal because of those issues, but we can signpost them to Citizens Advice, debt help organisations that can actually give them more specialist support. They can actually give them advice, help them with their problems.
Yeah.
But we're still there for them as well. We always make sure that the caller knows that they can contact us at any point. We're still there for them no matter what they do.
So if a caller is in particular distress, you encourage them to call back if they want to?
We do. We would always encourage them to give us a call back at any time, night or day, that there's always someone there for them, which is really important.
It is, yeah, definitely. So, I mean, we covered areas like being vulnerable, being scared, being anxious. I think there is a misconception that only suicidal people contact Samaritans, and there is an element there is a proportion of people that do feel that way, that do contact Samaritans, but there's lots of other reasons why someone would pick up the phone and call Samaritans. So what sorts of other reasons might someone, from your experience, obviously we can't discuss individual calls and individual contacts, but what types of reasons would someone perhaps pick up the phone and call Samaritans, aside from feeling suicidal?
I mean, there's no kind of real exhaustive list. It could be anything, really, anything that's causing someone distress, despair. And yes, you're right that people don't have to be suicidal to contact us, but quite often people are. But most people, most of the time, perhaps aren't, but they may be suffering from distress, despair, that perhaps could lead them to being suicidal. Yeah. And one of the things that Samaritans goes by is that we hope by talking to us, less people will die by suicide. So by giving, again, that person a chance to speak, it may stop them getting to that point where they feel they could be suicidal. I mean, people contact us, they could be going through loss, so loss of job, loss of a pet, loss of a loved one, loss of a way of life, bereavement, people going through money problems, issues at work, school, college. You know, we do have young people that contact us. Children do contact us. People going through physical health issues, you know, that they may have an illness, could be a long-term condition, something that they're struggling to deal with or they're worried about. People who are prisoners, we get lots of contact from prisoners who are struggling and may not be able to talk to the people that support them in prison for one reason or another. We quite often get calls from people who have been in the forces, ex-service people.
With PTSD.
Or struggling because they've come out of the forces or struggling with a new way of life. Again, we can signpost them to another organisation. But again, sometimes all they want is just someone to talk to. Give them that space to talk. People going through relationship issues. And that could be anything from they've split up their boyfriend to a 50-year marriage has broken down, sexuality and gender issues, people who are perhaps confused or don't know what they want from life, and they will talk about issues. It could be anything, really.
But anything where that person is in some form of distress or anxiety.
Yeah.
So I guess the main takeaway there is you don't need to be suicidal to contact Samaritans.
No,
if you just want to talk to someone, talk about your feelings, talk to someone confidentially, and we'll come on to confidentiality in a second. But confidentially, that won't judge you, that won't give their opinion, that won't give you their version of advice. It doesn't have to be, you know, feeling suicidal.
Exactly. I mean, quite often people will say, I've got lots of friends and family around me, but I still feel alone. I still feel the loneliest person in the world because they can't be honest to those people about how they're really feeling. Quite often they'll say things like, I know if I talk to my husband, he's going to tell me to pull myself together. You can't really feel that bad. Life's not that bad. Or, you know, if someone says to you, if a friend or family member says to you, I feel like taking my life, your immediate reaction, I think anyone out there, would be to try and stop them, talk them out of it. And people don't always want that.
No.
People just want to be able to talk to someone and be honest. And going back to your talk earlier about mental health and breaking the stigma, we do get a lot of people contact us who are going through mental health issues or suffering mental health issues. Some people who are perhaps getting support from community services or their GP, some people who aren't. And one of the things you said about stigma, people perhaps feeling that they're being stigmatised by the condition they're going through or the issues that they have. A lot of people contact us and perhaps don't want to talk too much about those issues because they're fed up with being labelled, you know, by services. They're fed up with being labelled, you know, I'm a schizophrenic. They may not want to talk to us about that. They just want someone to give them a chance to talk about how they're feeling and what they're going through.
Okay, so we mentioned signposting. And we mentioned about the other helplines that are available out there. So, you know, I'm not going to mention them, but there are a plethora of helplines designed to help for specific issues. It might be mental health, it might be relationships, it might be addiction, all sorts of things out there. In your opinion, why is Samaritans different to these other helplines that are out there?
I think, again, because we don't try to problem solve or give advice. Someone knows that they can pick up the phone any time of night or day. And that's another thing. Our line runs 24 hours a day. Someone calls us, they could get through to any branch in the country. And again, we're just there to listen. We're not trained professionals. We're not counsellors. Mm-hmm. People do sometimes think Samaritans are counsellors, but we're not.
Right.
We're all from different walks of life, different backgrounds, and we're volunteers. We're no different to the person who contacts us.
And I think the bit you touched on there about the way that the helpline system works, in as much as the chances of you being put through to your local branch, there's still a possibility, but it's a remote possibility. So if there was ever that worry that you wanted to call Samaritans, but you might be put through to someone locally, the chances of that happening is remote.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, in Ashford, you know, we can answer the phone and it can be someone contacting us from Scotland.
Yeah.
The way the system works, and it's brilliant. It really is good. But on the other hand, we're open about that. So if someone says, oh, which branch am I through to? We would say, well, you're through to Ashford in Kent. And sometimes people can be a bit surprised, but it's just the way the system works.
Yeah.
And another difference, I think, is as well that people contact us and we're confidential, you know, and we don't break that confidentiality. There's only one or two exceptions where we do.
Yeah.
But people know that they contact us, they talk to us in confidence. Mm-hmm. And that can be a concern for people at times.
Yeah.
So we reassure them.
And calls are not recorded, are they?
So
there is an absolute confidentiality, like you say, with very, very few exceptions to that.
Yeah. I mean, what people talk to us about stays confidential to Samaritans.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody listens into the calls. It's just, you know, unless you're new, then you have a mentor. But apart from that, you know, it's confidential to Samaritans.
Excellent. So going on to the volunteer work, I mean, what do Samaritan volunteers do?
Well, you know, apart from picking up the phone, listening to people who call us, people also email us and write in. We do still have a correspondence branch, so people can write letters and letters are answered and sent back to the callers. All of those details are on our website.
Mm-hmm.
We also, lots of branches provide support in the community. So a big example of that is that we go out and do talks in schools and local businesses. We talk about emotional well-being. We talk about how people can look after themselves and support each other, which is really useful. And it's a really important thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Some branches as well will go out to a school and give support if there's been a suicide in the school. So if it's been a pupil or a member of staff, some branches do that. We also, lots of branches do outreach, and that can vary from having a presence in a local hospital to support patients, staff, etc. Some branches do outreach in local GP surgeries. We also have a festival branch that supports people in festivals across the country, different events that can kind of range from Glastonbury to the TT races on the Isle of Man and local festivals as well. So, you know, we take our support out to the community for people who may not ring us or who may not email us, and we'll go out where people may want to just sit on a bale of hay in the middle of a field with music playing loudly and just talk to us because they're not feeling too good.
It sounds like you've done that once or twice already.
I have.
I can just imagine a mad scramble to be put on the list to go to Glastonbury. Or the TT, that's interesting.
It's quite different though, because it's a different way that
different
we do
dynamic.
Things. You're kind of going out to the people more. You're perhaps approaching them a little bit more than waiting for them to pick up the phone and contact you. And it's just, you know, just someone walking by and you just, you know, how are you feeling today?
And I was going to say, equally, people are probably not expecting it. So they may be more relaxed to talk about the any issues they've got or...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we're also quite a lot about raising awareness as well in the local community. You know, in Ashford, we'll quite often have events going on. We'll go out and meet people in the local area, like at County Square. We've had a stand there. It's not just about raising money, but it's raising awareness and like, hey, you know, we're here.
Yeah.
This is what we do. Come and talk to us. Come and find out more about us.
And it's all part
maybe
of that,
volunteer with
it's,
us.
It's all part of that process of breaking down that stigma of mental health problems, isn't it? And getting people to talk about it, people with the problem to actually talk, but for people without and society in general to break down that stigma and start that conversation.
Definitely.
So if there's anyone out there that fancies, you know, looking into becoming a Samaritan's volunteer, maybe giving back to the community, maybe helping out, how would they go about that?
Well, we're always looking for new volunteers. You know, we want to be able to stay open 24/7. And a big part of our role, the hardest part, is usually during the night. We do get a lot of calls through the night. And during the night, people can perhaps be more vulnerable, kind of feel more at their lowest ebb. So we're always looking for people that can give up time during the night, even a couple of hours. People can go onto our website, which is www.samaritans.org.
Okay.
And they can select volunteering with us. And you can leave your contact details and someone will get back to you. They'll send you some forms with more information. They'll have a chat with you about what we do and how to apply. You can also ring us on the number, which I'll give you in a moment. Just bear in mind, again, that could go through to any branch. So you can say to the person who answers, I'd like to become a volunteer in Ashford, and they'll take your details and they'll forward it on to us. We would then invite you to come along to selection day, which is quite relaxed. We talk about what we do. We get to know you more. And you'll have like a short informal interview as well with a Samaritan, just to find out more about you. And then if everything's okay and you'd still like to join us, you come along and start training. And the training at the moment is over 10 sessions.
Okay.
Can sometimes be over a course of 10 weeks or sometimes it could be a shorter period. And then if that's all okay and you do 6 months with a mentor, you become a full Samaritan at the end of it.
Brilliant. So you mentioned the contact number. So if someone out there is in difficulty, in distress, we mentioned that they can, there's obviously the phone number, they can also email in as well. I think the email is joe@samaritans.org. They can email in, they can go to their local branch, and the local branch in Ashford is where?
It's 22 Queen Street.
Okay.
And that's just off Bank Street in town.
Okay.
So you've got the new pizza place on the corner, and I forgot what it's called now at the moment. And it's just along from there. So as if you're going through.
So just around the corner from the library, isn't
it? Yes.
Opposite the Elwick Club, kind of down that. Is it Victoria Road, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
And the Samaritan's phone number?
It's 116123.
Okay. And just to reiterate the point that you don't need to be suicidal or feel suicidal to call Samaritans. If you're feeling in distress for any of those reasons, it might be money issues or bereavement, or it might be relationship issues or issues with sexuality or anything in between, then if you want to talk to someone confidentially, you just want someone to listen to you, then pick up the phone. As Jane said, the number is 116123.
Definitely.
Fantastic. It's been great to have you on the show this morning, Jane. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you for inviting me. And can I just add one more tiny little thing? I do apologise.
Absolutely.
We're always looking for people to support us, not just volunteering with us, but we are a self-funding branch. We are part of a big organisation, but each branch is its own charity in its own right. We have to raise money to keep going. It's really important we don't get funding from anywhere else. So if anyone out there would like to do any fundraising for us, even can give us any prizes, anything that we can use for prizes for raffles, any events we're doing, that would be great. We need support all the time to keep going.
Brilliant.
So thank you very much for listening and being there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jane. Right, so to lead us into the next part of the show, I'm going to have a quick chat to you about type 2 diabetes. We have another appropriate song. It's a great song by REM, and it's called Everybody Hurts.
When your day is long, sure you've had enough. Sometimes, sometimes everything is wrong. Now it's time to sing along. When your day is night, hold on, hold on. If you feel like letting go, if you think you've had too much of this life, well, hang on, 'cause everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends. Everybody hurts. Don't throw your hand. Oh, don't throw your hand. If you like your love, no, 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 you're not alone. If you're on your own, it's like sometimes, but everybody hurts. Sometimes, so hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
That was REM and Everybody Hurts. Okay, so before we wrap up the show, just a couple of contact bits of contact information to give you. If you'd like to contact the show's Twitter feed, it's at Health Radio Show. You can drop me a line on Twitter. You can tweet me. If you go to Facebook, you can search Health Matters Radio Show and find the show's Facebook page. Or if you'd like to contact me directly by email, then you can find my details via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So for the next couple of minutes, I just want to touch on an area that I'm very passionate about, which is type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes was in the press again over the weekend, and the news reports have suggested that it's risen by 41% in 3 years in young people. So there's lots of people beating the drum again about type 2 diabetes, lots of governmental intervention about how to reduce and how to deal with the problem. I'm just going to really touch on the symptoms of type 2 diabetes, because actually it's estimated there are about 4.3, 4.5 million people in this country with type 2, and only about 3.6 million know they've got it at the minute. So it can go undiagnosed for up to 10 years. And I will cover this in more detail on next week's show. But I just want to touch on the symptoms. Now, these symptoms may not mean that you've got type 2. Okay, so if we go through, for example, thirst, people get thirsty. It doesn't mean you're a type 2 diabetic. But if you can identify with a few of these symptoms, it might be worth having a discussion with your doctor. So some symptoms of type 2 diabetes, that if you're a type 2 diabetic, you will be able to relate to. But if you're not a type 2 diabetic, or you think you're not, if you're getting some of these symptoms, it might be worth a chat with your doctor. So these are some of the symptoms: increased thirst, increased hunger, dry mouth, going to the toilet a lot, especially at night, unexplained weight loss, itching down below. So if you are subject to infections down there, yeast infections and what have you, that can be because of high levels of glucose in your blood. If you suffer from fatigue and tiredness, headaches, blurred vision's becoming quite common, actually. The way the glucose affects the really small arteries in the eye can affect your vision if you get partial blurred vision. If you have cuts or grazes and they're taking longer than normal to heal, that can be an indication as well. And if you get nausea and vomiting, that can be an indication. So in isolation, maybe not a problem, but if you can identify with a few of those, I'm on a bit of a mission at the minute to help to educate people about type 2 diabetes and also help people that may be out there, and there are about 700,000, it's estimated, that have type 2 and they don't yet know it, and it won't get picked up until they get serious problems or it's picked up on a random blood test. So do take it seriously. If you can relate to any of those issues, I will cover diabetes in more detail on the next show. But if you can relate to any of those conditions, possibly worth a conversation. It may be nothing to worry about. But if you are type 2 diabetic, or you are pre-diabetic, you need to find out, because it needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later. And the instances of type 2 diabetes are on the rise, despite the best efforts to bring it back down again. Okay, so that's the end of the show. How quickly an hour flies. I'd like to thank Jane again for coming on the show. It's been great to have you on the show, Jane.
Thank you, Neil, for letting me come along. It's been really great.
And it's been great to find out more about Samaritans. And just to remind you of that phone number, which is 116 123 24/7. If you need to talk to someone, if you're in distress, then please do pick up the phone and just have that conversation. This show will be available on Listen Again. If you go to my website, go to the media page, and all the previous shows are there as well. And also, if you go to iTunes and you type in the Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's podcast feed, and you can listen to all the previous shows on iTunes as well. If you'd like to come on the show to promote what you do, and to raise awareness of what you do, then please do contact me. I'm looking for guests for future shows, and it'll be great to have you on. And if you've got any questions about your health or anything in the meantime relating to physical or mental health, you can tweet me, or, as I mentioned, you can contact me via my website. Okay, so after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But I'd like to play you out with a great song I've not heard for a long time, actually. It's a very upbeat song. Most of you will know it as the theme from Friends. It's I'll Be There For You by the Rembrandts. So until next week, stay happy, stay healthy. Catch you next week.
baby.